This is a podcast for the distance learning route on the MA in Online Journalism at Birmingham City University. And this is the first podcast for the first week, which deals with what I think is the fundamental element in journalism in the 21st century, the fundamental issue that I think all journalists need to get to grips with. And that is summed up in one word: networks. The internet is a network of networks. It's well known as a series of networks connected together, and this kind of quality of the internet has changed the way that we can do things. It's not made us change the way that we do things, but it's made it possible for us to do what we've always done in different ways. And in this podcast, I want to talk specifically about why I think networks are important for journalists. I'm going to talk about three particular reasons. First of all, how newsrooms themselves are changing to take advantage of the qualities of network modes of operation. Secondly, I want to talk about how the wider world within which journalists operate is changing and why journalists need to respond to that. And finally, I want to talk in more commercial terms about the importance of distribution and specifically how networks play a role online, with journalism online. So to begin with, why are networks so important to journalists within newsrooms? The first point to make, I guess, is that this is not just about online journalists, but it's about all journalists who work in newsrooms, whether those are in print, in magazines, in broadcast. It doesn't matter what platform you primarily work on, partly because you'll have to work on the web as well, most likely, but partly because you'll be using the web as part of your production processes, even if you don't end up publishing there. And newsrooms are changing, as I say, to take advantages of the qualities of the web, of the internet. They are becoming more collaborative. They are becoming faster. They're becoming more transparent. And the need to be able to use these tools, these network tools, social networks, social media, that need is becoming more and more explicit. You have people like Julian March at Sky News, he's now ITV, who was quoted as saying, "I want to see social media become a part of the fabric of the day-to-day work." Peter Horrocks at the BBC once said that, "I'm afraid you're not doing your job if you can't do those things. It's not discretionary." So, you know, these are quite fundamental to the way that newsrooms are operating. And one of the reasons for this is that we've moved away from a physical, a purely physical mode of production to this networked mode of production. So previously, we used to go out and get a story. We'd gather the information. We'd come back and produce it. We might edit it. We might write it up. And then we'd hand it over to someone else, an editor, a sub-editor, a producer, an editor, and so on, to do something with that, to put it together into a package, for example. And then it would be designed, it would be printed, it would be distributed. And all of that took place away from the journalist. Meanwhile, the journalist was moving on to the next story. But that story that they were working on may not see the light of day until that evening or the next morning. Now, with the internet, those physical limitations no longer apply. And you might be gathering a story and able to produce it and distribute it all at the same time. So you might be using Twitter to find out what's happening in a riot. And the very act of gathering that information is actually an act of publication as well. And likewise, because you're in a social network like Twitter, it's also an act of distribution. People might be retweeting what you've said. You might be retweeting what other people have said. Your replies to other people will serve to send people to the person that you've replied to. And you start to see how that whole network structure becomes, as I say, a platform for distribution as well as publication. And I'll come on to that later in a bit more detail. But fundamentally, that I think is why networks are so important within the newsrooms. It's not just about finding stories, but about the publication and distribution of them as well. And also we're moving to a situation where journalists are increasingly working not just with people within the same room, within the same physical organisation, but also with people scattered across networks. So you might be talking to people across social networks in other areas. You might be receiving information from those people. And you start to get a more transparent, if you like, set of walls around your newsroom as more and more people outside that newsroom, if you like, put something into the process. So that's the first reason I think networks are important, is the way that they are changing within the profession itself. That kind of brings me on to the second reason, which is about what happens outside the newsroom. And again, I want to start by kind of comparing this to how things have been traditionally done within journalism. And I want to start with the contacts book. Now, the contacts book, the journalist's contacts book, would be filled up initially by some very obvious, the usual suspects, if you like. So you would have in your contacts book someone from the local police force. You would have local politicians. You would have council representatives. You might have some union officials in there, and so on. In other words, you would have representatives of formal organisations. And traditionally, that's how people have had a voice. They have joined a larger body, and someone within that body has been appointed to represent them. It might be the leader of that organisation. It might be a spokesperson. Increasingly, we have PR teams and PR practitioners acting in that role. And so you've had accusations of churnalism as their thoughts get recycled in public. But what the internet has allowed is for people to organise in similar ways without the need for formal organisations. If you read a book like Claire Shirky's Here Comes Everybody, you get a very good picture in that book of some of the instances in which that takes place. It may be people organising to find a lost purse. It might be people organising to raise money. It might be people organising to protest against the increase in tuition fees. But the fundamental point is that these people don't need a formal organisation to be heard. They just need a Facebook group or a blog or a web page which gets a million hits or a YouTube video. And that means for journalists, we have to respond to those changes in society. It means that we are dealing with new types of sources. So it means that in addition to the traditional formal organisations, the police forces, the councils, the unions, the charities, the pressure groups, we need to be agile enough to respond to these ad hoc organisations, the Facebook groups, the blogs, the YouTube videos and so on. And that means listening to those networks. It means following what's taking place and seeing when these organisations start to take shape and they start to, you know, they reflect quite often a popular feeling, which might be anger, it might be hope, it might just be a sense of humour. But we need to be aware of that and we need to be responding to it. So that's the second reason why networks are important, and that's because the outside world, our sources, are starting to organise into new types of groups, new voices. And I think that's healthy for journalism because I think it gives us access to a wider range of sources. We're not just relying on people who are within traditional sources, reliable sources. We also have to obviously be aware that they are not necessarily representative, but they do give us a wider diversity of voices to listen to. So the final reason why networks are important, and as I said, this is a more of a hard-headed commercial reason, specifically related to online journalism, and that is that if we don't engage with networks, we have a very poor distribution strategy. Now, what sets publishing apart from amateur journalism, if you like, is not really the quality of the content or the procedures or anything like that. It's the distribution. You can write the most beautiful piece of journalism in your spare room, But if you haven't got a printer or a broadcaster distributing that, then you will be treated as a citizen journalist. Now, I'm not going to deal with the whole citizen journalism argument here. I just want to make a distinction between publishing and journalism. So publishing generally involves distribution of some kind, and a good publishing operation will have a very good distribution infrastructure. If you speak to any publisher, you will hear that this is one of the main areas that you need to invest attention. If people aren't stocking your newspaper or magazine, then people can't get hold of it. Now, when you move online, the same issues come into play. If people cannot access your content, then it doesn't matter how good it is. So you need a distribution strategy. And when it comes to the web, distribution is a little bit different to print and broadcast because you're not in control of it. In print, you might have delivery vans and a network of news agents and newspaper boys and girls and so on. You might have subscribers and mailing lists. You might have channels and broadcast schedules for broadcast, all of which you have some control over. And there's a limit to entry. There's a limit to how many other people can enter those markets. Online distribution comes down to two key areas. The first is search engines, and the second is social media. And both of them come down to the same thing, which is users. Your ranking on a search engine is determined primarily by how many users link to you, how many blogs, how many websites link to that particular web page. The more that link to it, and the higher reputation those other websites linking to it are, then the higher a story, a web page will be ranked. In social media, obviously, the more people tweet about your story or share it on Facebook or mention it in a forum post or in a blog, the more people are going to click through and view that story. So distribution is in the hands of your users, and it is almost as if you are publishing a newspaper, but your readers are also paper boys and paper girls and news agents and delivery van drivers. So you have to, there's a different power relationship there between you as a publisher and your users, people who used to be your readers. So if you're going to distribute your content effectively, you need to engage with that network. And that's why the network is important. And in the following two podcasts, I'll talk in a bit more detail about the practicalities of exactly how to use those networks and how to work across them.